Standalone sermon today, John chapter 8, 31 through 37. Where do I live? Name of the sermon today. Jesus said in John 8, 31 through 37, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, or if you continue in my teaching, or abide in my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm going to read verses 31 and 32 one more time. I'm going to read it from a translation called the Jerusalem Bible. It's a very good translation of these two verses. To the Jews who believed in him, Jesus said, if you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. If you make my word your home, you will indeed be my disciples. You will come to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Father, help us to make our word, or your word, the living word of God, Jesus, our home today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Number one in your bulletins, if you'd like to follow along. Make Jesus' word your home. Make Jesus' word your home. I was a nomad from about the ages 16, 17 to the age of 21, 22, somewhere about 4 or 5 years in there. I was what I would call a nomad. I stayed with a friend a lot of the time during those years, during the summer especially. I stayed at his house, I would say, almost every night. I had three sisters throughout the rest of the year. I would stay with them, three older sisters. They were married, so I'd stay at their homes. I had my grandmother. I would stay at her house some nights. I had a cousin who lived with my aunt, so I would stay with them. And then when I went to college, I had a college dorm room, and I would stay there some nights and be other places at other times. And then on rare occasions, I would actually stay at home, at my parents' house. On any given night, there would be no telling where you would find me. I had a lot of instability in my life between the ages of 17, 21. And that instability left me confused. It left me off balanced. It allowed many different habits into my life. It allowed many different influences in my life. It allowed many different worldviews in my life, and it allowed much sin into my life. There was no foundation. There was no structure. And because of that, there was no direction, no dreams, no future. I was lost. That's why we minister to the homeless. If you never know where you're going to sleep from one night to the next, it can leave you feeling defeated. It can leave you feeling weak. It can leave you feeling helpless. A life where you feel like you can't get out of a trap no matter how many bootstraps you have. When you have no stability at all in your life, when you're homeless, when you feel like a nomad, that instability can wreck you. Well, praise God, I have learned stability. I have found a home. For me personally, it came with my call to preach the word. That was where I found stability in my life. I feel like that was my call. That's when I got a foundation in my life. I feel like that's when I got a home, not just a physical home where I started to stay at one place, which that did happen. Praise God for that. But a non-wandering worldview where everything was always confusing. I believe that is why we must make Jesus, His Word, Him being the living Word, also His written Word, and the spoken Word of Jesus, our home, because I believe it stops us from being nomads and it settles us down, gives us that stability, the dreams, the directions we need. We must not bounce around from one place to the next, like nomads. We must not bounce around from belief to belief to belief to worldview to worldview to worldview to thought to thought to thought, to family member to family member, to relationship to relationship to relationship, to church to church to church. Because all these things will leave us lost and confused. We must know where we are staying every night. Not physically, but in a metaphorical sense I'm talking about. And I'm not talking about just being an ignorant, mindless follower of Jesus. Well, I stick with Jesus and that's it. We answer the questions, we answer the difficult questions, but at the end of the day, we know we have stability, we have a foundation of Christ's Word. We are not homeless. We continue with Christ. We abide with Christ. We stay in a given place with Christ. We are present with Christ. We remain with Christ. We tarry with Christ. We dwell with Christ. If you hold to my teaching, if you make my word your home, we make his word our home. We abide, we abide, we abide. The concept of abiding, of making God's word our home, it's all throughout the Gospel of John. He says it many times. John is telling us it's not enough to receive God's truth. We must live in it. Yes, we receive the truth. Yes, we love the truth. Yes, we pray the prayer, but we live in it. We do not move from place to place to place, always searching, always wandering like a nomad. Colossians 2:6 says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him." You received Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, continue to live your life in Him. If you receive my word, if you hold to my word, three things follow that if for believers. Jesus is talking to people who have believed in Him. And three things follow that if. If you continue in my word, then you are truly my disciples. If you continue in my word, then you will know the truth. If you continue in my word, the truth will make you free. So the opposite would also be true. If you do not continue in my word, if you do not make my word your home, you are not my disciples. You will not know the truth, and the truth will not make you free. So we will stay enslaved. If. I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago. I don't remember what the sermon was, but Jesus used if. We talked about that. Jesus, we always want if, take the ifs out of it. We want Jesus to be definite. But Jesus uses if more than we have realized, more than I've realized. Jesus is telling us abiding in His word may or may not happen. And for these group of believers, it did not happen. Verse 37, "My word has no room among you." My word has no room among you. Continuing the abiding, the home metaphor Jesus is. He's saying, my word is not welcome, accepted in your homes. They had filled their lives with other things, and Jesus, his word, Jesus himself was pushed out in the streets. We have no room for you, Jesus. They made Jesus homeless. My word has no room There's no room in your house for me. Their faith was flawed and their faith was dying. So I have to make Jesus' word my home. And I have to continue in his word. Number two. I am a disciple. I am a disciple. Are you a disciple? That's kind of an old-fashioned word. But I am a disciple. Not sure if you like that title. Not sure if you like that label. It's about one of the only labels I really go for nowadays, personally. I like husband, I like father, but besides that, I usually just go with Christian or disciple. That's my two labels that I will accept. I self-identify as a disciple. And I say that on purpose. That is a buzzword today, maybe a political buzzword. What? How do you self-identify? And I do not mean it malicious towards anyone's political views. I mean it humbly to say that that is the way that I truly identify myself. I identify myself as a disciple of Jesus Christ. But the question is, am I a true disciple? Are you a true disciple? A true disciple of Christ continues in his teaching, holds to his teachings, makes Christ's word his home. Jesus' entry into his school. If you wanted to apply for enrollment, I'm trying to get into graduate school here in Grand Rapids. And you got to fill out, you got to write essays and get recommendations and things of that nature. Well, Jesus said, if you want to enroll in his school of discipleship, because he's the rabbi, he's the teacher, if you want to enroll, there is a settled rule. We must continue in his word. He would own none for his disciples, but those that would continue in his word. It implies that there are many who will profess themselves as Christ's disciples who are not his disciples. They only make a show of it, or a name of it, or a bumper sticker of it, but they have not continued in his word. There is a condition for discipleship. It is continuing in the word of Christ. It is remaining connected to, abiding, dwelling with Christ in his message. That is the true measure of discipleship. Jesus is speaking to people who are apparent insiders, to the Jews who have believed him, people who were drawn to Jesus, who have believed something of him, had seen his miracles. So apparently, even believers, those who have seen something in Jesus that they love, can resist being a disciple, can resist discipleship. You see, believing in Jesus is just the beginning point. It is just the beginning point, a very important beginning point. But it is just the beginning point. Abiding in Jesus, making his word your home, is the key teaching here. We have made salvation the final destination. Praying a prayer, a one-time prayer, the final destination. That's all you need. One prayer is all you need, and you're good to go. And there is a starting point for salvation for sure when you begin following Jesus. But following Jesus until we see Jesus is the final destination. It's called being a disciple. I am a disciple. Are you a disciple? Number three. You will come to know the truth. You will come to know the truth. And that's the way it was worded from the Jerusalem Bible. I like that. You will come to know the truth. He told believers, you'll come to know the truth. See, we've turned salvation into a magic snap of the fingers. Where I said a prayer and poof, I've got everything I need. The King James says it this way, then you will know the truth. And that's a good translation as well. Then you will know the truth. Then when? When you continue in His Word, then you will come to know the truth. Then you will know the truth. So in context of discipleship, you will come to know the truth as we continue in His Word. That is an excellent translation of that verse. I think we've taken the then out of being a Christian in many cases. Then, I am a Christian, see you when I get to heaven. And many people have taken that, especially in the Western world, have taken that point of view. I believe in Jesus. There is no then. There is no then when I continue in His Word. I've got it all figured out. We've made it a declarative statement. You will know the truth. I know all the truth I need to know. Jesus came down and handed it to me on a silver platter. I got my ticket. But Jesus says, then you will know the truth. When you continue in My Word, when you continue to make My Word your home, then you will know the truth. Do you want to be delivered from things that are controlling you as a Christian? Do you want to be delivered from habits, from your thought life, from attitudes, from unforgiveness? How does that happen? You continue in His Word, then you'll know the truth about the situation that you are going through. We are God's children. True. Initially, when we believe, when we receive Christ, we have all the promises of God. I'm not saying that. We do. You have every promise of God today. But as the children of God, we must continually remain in His Word to gain the knowledge of His truth. We call it sanctification, if you want a churchy word for it. We continue with Christ. God's children are His children. And children understand and speak as children. And children need to be taught. Taught by who? Taught by our Heavenly Father. We are disciples. Disciples are learners. This is not a one-time prayer. We are learners. That's how we grow in the truth. And if we move around from place to place to place, from worldview to worldview to worldview, we may be ever learning. I learned a lot from the ages of 17 to 21, I thought. But then I realized I never came to the knowledge of the truth. I realized I was lost. It's not an abstract platitude. The truth will make you free. It's not just referring to some philosophical ideal about the opposite of falsehood. It is the knowledge of God as revealed in Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself is the very revelation of God. Staying with Jesus is the path to truth. Staying with Jesus from now until I see Him is the path of truth. They will come to know Him as the truth if they live with Him and remain connected with Him and His Word. So experience with Jesus and not just deduction is the way. Aha! A lot of you are just waiting for that aha moment. You want it? I just want it to click. Aha! Now I got it. I don't think it works that way. It may, and it has for certain things for me, but it only works that way as we continue in His Word, continue on the path with Him as the truth. And number four, you are free. Are you a Christ follower? Are you a Christ follower? Then you are free, and Christ follower, you will be set free. You are free and will be set free. Both at the same time. Jesus mentions freedom. This offends his hearers, the Jews there. They insist that they have always been free. They just ignore those Roman soldiers walking down the street that have got them in slavery. Jesus knew that his audience was barely hanging on to their freedom, to their literal freedom. The Romans were about to come in and destroy them, and to their spiritual freedom. They saw it as freedom, but they were living in slavery. See, slavery in that society, it was the fuel that powered the Greco-Roman economic engine, and it was needed by the powers that be. And most forms of it were very brutal, but some forms of slavery came with responsibility in that society. If you were a slave in many places, you could run a household. You could educate the children of that family. You could have a standing in the community, have a standing in that family, have financial responsibility. You could even own other slaves. Slaves in that society could own other slaves. So it was much different from the slave trade in America. It can almost feel like freedom. But things would happen in time to time, and you would be reminded that the truth is you are still enslaved. Jesus hears they felt free, but they were slaves. Now, you and I, we connect freedom in our Western world with political freedom. We have a right for everything, a right to choose, a right to bear. We have economic freedom, the free market. We have freedom to self-identify. That's the big buzzword today. We're not the first one to self-identify. John chapter 8, we are children of Abraham. We self-identify with Abraham. So people have always been self-identifying. And it can feel like freedom. There's nothing wrong with me. And we stubbornly persist that the idea that we are fundamentally in control. And if we persist in this way of thinking, we are responsible for our freedom. Our freedom will always rest upon us. But Jesus comes along and he contends that without him, they were slaves. And he will contend with us today, without him, we are slaves. Jesus says the responsibility for your freedom rests upon me. If we remain slaves, that will negate us to an inferior status. That will make us outside the family of God. We'll never be able to find a permanent place in God's house. Only a son can ensure freedom. Only the son can secure membership in God's family, in God's house. So to say Jesus brings freedom implies that people are in slavery. And I believe the Western world is in slavery. The whole world, but I'm focused on the Western world today. That's where I live. That's where I minister. I believe the Western world is in slavery. Your friends are in slavery. I don't believe it. I believe they are. And I believe if you just wait long enough, you'll see it. I believe your children, grandchildren are in slavery. We don't like to hear that we are enslaved in any way. Modern life tends to tell us and reassures us that we are free from any constraints. We aspire to self-realization. We aspire to self-actualization. And we are definitely self-sufficient. And we self-identify. We are not enslaved. We are free. And we perpetuate this myth that we are at the mercy of no forces that are beyond our control. And we believe that. But as a former lost nomad, I personally beg to disagree. And I say we need someone to redeem us. I say we are enslaved to powers beyond our ability to master. I say we are not able to liberate ourselves. We need a liberator. And I believe all other things that we find as sufficient for life, for freedom, are insufficient outside of God, outside of Jesus. Now, Jesus did not come along to announce a new dogma. He did not come along to announce a new confession to which we must subscribe. I believe he demands an encounter with himself. For us to know him, one must dwell with him and make his word our home. The key to freedom is Christ himself. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Galatians 5:1. So I announce loudly and clearly today that the day of liberation has come right now. We are Christians, or you can be. You can start your path with Jesus today. I declare unmistakably that the captives have been delivered today, or can be today. I declare today that we are unencumbered from things that would trap us and that would bind us. I say we are not just barely hanging on as Christians. We are free. We are Christians. We are free. He that the Son is set free is free indeed. Yet at the same time, we have not arrived. No one here has arrived. We still live in the world where we struggle against the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But we are fighting now as free people in Christ. We still live in a world where we struggle against the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but we are fighting now as free people in Christ. Before Christ, we were fighting a battle that we could not win. From the ages of 17 to 21, I was fighting as a lost nomad, and I could not win. But now in Christ, we are fighting a battle that we cannot lose. Because we are at home. We have home court advantage. We have home ice advantage. Oh, I need some ice right now. Oh. We have home field advantage. We are the home team because the Son says, come on in out of the field. You're no longer a slave. You're in the family. There's things that are still around. There's things that we struggle with. I still struggle with things. I do, but you're the pastor. I know it. If the pastor struggles, imagine how much you do. But I'm fighting a battle now that I cannot lose because I'm fighting a battle that's already been won in Christ. I am free. So do you want to be free from doubts and habits and unwanted feelings? Well, here's the answer. I believe this is the answer. Staying with Jesus is the path to freedom. I believe that. Jesus says, if you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you are my disciples for sure. Then you will experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. So I ask us, where do you live? Where do you live? Where are you going to hang your hat? Where are you going to sleep tonight? Live in his word. Live for Jesus this week. Got your living for Jesus there. As a believer in Jesus, what are some ways you can make Jesus' word your home? Sit with Jesus. Ask Jesus those questions this week. How can I make your word my home? Number two, do you self-identify as a disciple? I am a disciple. You might, there's a lot of ways we identify ourselves today. I identify as a disciple. And again, I'm not saying that in a harsh way, in a manipulative way through those. It's not a political bashing. I truly believe I self-identify as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let that sink into your soul this week if you so choose. And number three, what area of your life needs truth and freedom? Where are you struggling? Where are you struggling? Sit with Jesus this week. How can you receive that truth and freedom? Let Jesus help you answer that question. Live for Jesus. Make His word your home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You've saved us. We thank You that You've invited us into Your home. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're invited in. Jesus is standing there saying, come on in. Come on in. The house is ready. I'm the Son. I'm inviting you in. I know you're enslaved to things. I know you're enslaved to this habit, that habit, this mindset, this worldview. I know you're a nomad. You feel homeless. You're wandering around. Jesus is saying, come on in. Come on in. I'm the Son. I invite you in. Do you have room for me? Do you have room for me? Do you want me to live in your home, in your house, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul? Will you invite me in? If you say yes today, you can start your path. You can start your journey with Jesus. Say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I accept the invitation. Jesus, I make your word my home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you prayed that prayer, would you come see me after the service today and you say, I prayed that prayer. I prayed that prayer, Pastor. Thank you, Lord. Lord, may we all make your word our home. May we all continue in your word daily, weekly. That's where we find deliverance. Then you will know the truth. But we're all looking for truth. We're all looking for freedom. I believe it comes from continuing in your word. So help us all to continue in the word of God, Jesus Christ himself. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you're able, would you stand with us? If you need prayer this morning, for whatever reason, I'd hate to close the service even on this warm day without giving you an opportunity to be prayed for. So if you'd like to be prayed for something that was said during the message, a need that's on your heart, a burden that's on your heart, as we sing, would you just come and I'll pray with you today? Would you come? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away.
Abide in your word. We continue in your word. We make your word our home. Now, Lord, I just ask that you would bless your people, that you would make your face shine upon them. Lord, that you would be gracious to every person here, and that you would give every person here peace. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you for bearing with the heat. I love you. Go in peace.